Amen. Today's message, I'm entitled, it's called Yeshua our Mezuzah. Yeshua our Mezuzah. And this relates to the Passover that's coming up just in 3 weeks from today, isn't it? 3 weeks. Wonderful. And put this side light on, Shanika. The side light right there. It's the first one. There we go. Passover is in 3 weeks, and who's going to our Passover this year? Who's going? Wonderful. Wonderful. Has everyone got their tickets yet? Work on it. Let's try to get it going here so we know how many people. You know, that way we can know where we're at, where you're at. Praise the Lord. Let me start with this little story. And this all relates to our Passover that's coming up. This is called House of a Thousand Terrors. In the marketplace of Rotterdam, Holland, stood for many years an old corner house known as the House of a Thousand Terrors. And during the 16th century, the Dutch people rose in revolt against the cruel and evil King Philip II of Spain. And Philip sent this great army under the Duke of Alva to suppress, to destroy this rebellion. And Rotterdam held out for a time as long as they could, but they finally capitulated. And from house to house, the victors went, searching out the citizens and then killing them all in their houses. But there was a group of men and women and children, and they were hiding in a corner house when they heard the soldiers approaching. And a thousand terrors gripped their hearts. Then a young man had an idea. He took a goat in the house and he killed it. And with the broom, he swept the blood under the doorway so it drained out onto the street. And when the soldiers reached the house and began to batter down the door to kill them, noticing the blood coming out from under the door, one soldier said, "Come away. The work is already done here. Look at the blood beneath the door." And then all the people inside the house escaped. Now this story, the House of a Thousand Terrors, it can be simplified into a few brief statements. Number one, the people were in bondage to a cruel king. Secondly, the cruel king oppressed them to the point of death. And thirdly, death was going from house to house, killing everyone. Fourth, and the people applied the blood of a goat, lamb, upon their doorposts. And the people escaped from death as a result of the blood because the work was already done. Now, does this story sound familiar to you? This is the story of Passover from Exodus chapter 12. And it leads us in today's message entitled Yeshua our Mezuzah. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. I hope everyone has a Bible with them, either a paper one, or on their phones, or a tablet, somewhere, somehow, that you can read this. There's also some Bibles under some of the chairs here as well. I encourage you to not leave home without it. Have some means, some way to have that Word of God available 365 days a year with you. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 7, we read the following. Now Adonai spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month will mark the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one lamb for the household. But if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor are to take one according to the number of the people. Your lamb is to be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." From the goats. "Then you must watch over it until the 14th day, for 4 days of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to slaughter it at twilight. And they are to take the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the crossbeam of the houses where they will eat." Now skip ahead to verse 12. Verse 12 there. And verse 13. "For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will execute judgments against all the gods of Egypt. I am Adonai. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, so there will be no plague among you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Now once more, skip to verse 21. Skip ahead to verse 21 there, through 23. "And then Moses called for all the elders of Israel, and he said to them, 'Go now, select lambs for your families, and slaughter the Pesach, the Passover lamb. You are to take a bundle of hyssop, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and apply it to the crossbeam and to the two doorposts with the blood from the basin. None of you may go out of this door of his house until the morning. And then Adonai will pass through to strike down the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the crossbeam and on the two doorposts, Adonai will pass over that door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you down.'" In Exodus chapter 12 here that we're reading, the blood of the lamb was to be applied to the doorpost. That word in Hebrew is mezuzah, the doorpost of the homes of the children of Israel. This blood was to be a sign. It was to be a reminder to the people that when God saw this blood that was applied upon the doorpost, that he would pass over that house and protect them from the angel of death. Just as the plagues were miraculous signs of judgment on Pharaoh and his people, so Adonai's passing over the children of Israel who placed themselves under this blood was a pledge of God's kindness and God's mercy to the children of Israel. Now this blood symbolized a sacrifice that was offered as a substitute. In other words, one life was being laid down for another life. And this is the principle that we see in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, where it says in Leviticus 17:11, "For the life of the creature is in its blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves upon the altar. For it is the blood that makes atonement for one's life." The blood shed in sacrifices was sacred. It was holy. It epitomized the life of that sacrificial victim. Since life was sacred, blood, a symbol of life, had to be treated with respect. Later on, practically every sacrifice included the sprinkling or the smearing of blood on the altar or within the Mishkan, within the tabernacle. And this taught that atonement involves the substitution of life for life. In other words, we can't receive atonement without a life being shed, blood being shed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The blood of that first covenant sacrifice pointed toward the blood of Yeshua, that Lamb of God, who obtained for his people eternal redemption once and for all. You know, today if you visit the home of an observant Jew, either Orthodox or Messianic, you'll notice a small rectangular box. I forgot to get a mezuzah to show you, but I think you've all seen mezuzahs. You notice that small rectangular box attached to the outer doorpost of the home, and that object is a mezuzah. And though it's small, it carries a very big message for all of us. And during the days of the first covenant, mezuzah was simply the word for the doorpost of a house. The mezuzah was where the blood was applied during that first Passover, 3,500 years ago. The mezuzah was where a servant who wanted to serve his master for life would have his ear pierced. In other words, he would put his ear lobe upon the doorpost, and they would drive and what do you call an awl? The thing you hammer, an awl? Yeah, right through the earlobe. And then he'd have a ring put there to show that he served the master. We read that Eli, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, sat by the mezuzah. It says it sat by the doorpost of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in 1 Samuel chapter 1:9. In Proverbs 8:34, we read, blessedness belongs to the one who waits at wisdom's doorpost, at wisdom's mezuzah, eager for instruction. Now today the meaning of the mezuzah has been transferred from the doorpost to the box that's attached to the doorpost. Who has a mezuzah on their doorpost? It's quite a few of you have it here. Where's Elton? Elton back there has been asking me for how long now? Huh? He's asking me to come to his house and put up a mezuzah on his doorpost. And I haven't forgot you, Elton. Okay? And here is a mezuzah. It's a small one. Here, the mezuzah on one side, and the inside is hollowed out, and we'll see in a minute that you put a scroll in there and you attach it to your doorpost. Sometimes the word mezuzah refers even more specifically to the scroll that's put inside the box on which two scripture passages are written. Traditionally, these verses are Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, which is known as the Shema, with the Ve'ahavta, and Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21. And Deuteronomy 6, 9 and 11, 20 says, to write them, that is to write God's law, God's word, God's instruction, God's Torah on the doorposts, on the mezuzah of your houses and on your gates. And from these scriptures, the Jewish people derived the obligation to affix to the doorpost a mezuzah box containing these scripture passages. And often the three Hebrew letters, Shin, Dalet, and Yod, which represents Shaddai, God Almighty, are engraved on the front of the mezuzah. And this one, we just, perfect that this one has it, it says Shaddai, Shin, Dalet, Yod, Shaddai, or God Almighty. And that's a prayer for all of us that El Shaddai, God Almighty, will protect this home and protect the inhabitants of this home by his Ruach HaKodesh. I remember 52 years ago, and I can remember 52 years ago. I wasn't born yet. Actually, I was. One summer 52 years ago, I was a young lad, Jewish boy of 9 years old. And this summer, 52 years ago, my parents, I think it was my great-grandmother, Molly Cohn, I think she was the one who actually paid for it, they wanted to send me to a Hebrew day camp during the summer. It was called Airy Crown Hebrew Day Camp in Chicago. So I went to this Hebrew day camp, and I was not raised Orthodox. Everybody in this day camp was Orthodox. Everyone. They had the side curls, the payas. They had on the talit katan, which is the talit that you put your head through. It's like an undergarment with the tzitzit on both sides, and you wear it in your clothes, and the tzitzit hang out. Don't take your clothes off, Bob. Oh, you're showing it? Okay. All right. You got one on? Okay. Stand up, Bob. So you have on a talit katan? Okay. It's hanging underneath, and the tzitzit's on both sides. They all had on the talit katan, and when they went to the water fountain to get a drink, they'd all daven, you know, and they'd say a prayer and at the meals, and I felt like I was totally out of place. Yeah, I was Jewish, and I was taking Hebrew and getting ready for bar mitzvah and all these things, but we weren't Orthodox. We weren't overly observant. But I do remember one thing from that whole camp, you know, that really stood out. Because they were teaching a song about the mezuzah. And I only remember just a verse of it, but it went like, kiss the mezuzah you find laying on your door, and you'll learn about the Torah like you've never learned before. Did you all get that? Okay. One more. Who said one more time? Okay, one more time. Second verse, same as the first. Okay. Kiss the mezuzah you find laying on your door, and you learn about the Torah like you've never learned before. And that was the object lesson of that. When you see that mezuzah on your door, as you're walking in and you touch it and you kiss, you're supposed to. It's to remind you of God's Word, God's Torah. As believers, it reminds us that Yeshua is the Word of God that was manifest in the flesh. And when we see the Torah scroll, yes, it's a scroll. It's the five books of Moses, but Word says that Yeshua was the Word of God. He came down, manifested in the flesh. He is the living Word of God. So as we see that mezuzah, it reminds us about God's Word, keeping God's Word, celebrating, loving God's Word. You know, the story of the mezuzah is the story of God's love for His people. It's a picture and a shadow of the great redemptive act of God through Yeshua the Messiah. God was showing us that blood needed to be shed in order for our sins to be forgiven and for us to enter into eternal life. Exodus 12:21 says, go at once and select the animals. And these animals had to be perfect, without defect. It says, for your families, and slaughter the Passover lamb. God required the Passover lamb to be slaughtered so that we would escape death. This is the picture of Yeshua, our Passover lamb, sacrificed once and for all for us. Have you ever heard the saying, I plead the blood of Yeshua? Who's heard that before? Of course, you probably heard, I plead the blood of Jesus. But, of course, we say, we plead the blood of Yeshua. Where do you think that gets, where do we get that from? I plead the blood of Yeshua. I believe that comes from the Passover story. Pleading the blood of Yeshua. We're saying, I plead the blood of Yeshua for redemption, for protection, for eternal life, for victory. Even the custom of nailing the mezuzah to the doorpost is a picture of Yeshua. Yeshua, the Word of God, manifest in the flesh, was nailed to the wood on our behalf. When we nail the mezuzah to our doorpost, we're nailing all of our sins upon Yeshua. We are nailing God's Word upon our homes. Thank you, Lord. We are affixing the Word of God, Yeshua the Messiah, in His blood upon and into our homes. Maimonides, the great rabbi in the Middle Ages, said, by the commandment of the mezuzah, man is reminded when entering or departing of God's unity. Now we may ad lib or even say more of God's triunity here. The triune nature of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Reminded of God's unity and is stirred into love for Him. He is awakened from his slumber and from his vain worldly thoughts to the knowledge that nothing endures in eternity like knowledge of the rock of all the world. And we know Yeshua is that solid rock. This contemplation brings him back to himself and leads him onto the right path. Those are good words. Exodus 12:22 is another picture of Yeshua the Messiah, our mezuzah. It says in Exodus 12:22, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of that blood on the top and on both sides of the doorpost or the mezuzah. In this scripture, that hyssop was used to offer or apply blood to the mezuzah, the doorpost. But also in John 19:28, in the Brit Chadashah, hyssop was once again used to offer wine symbolic of blood to the mezuzah, Yeshua, the Messiah, as he was upon that wooden cross. And this cross is a type of mezuzah which had blood offered upon it for the salvation of all the world. We read in John 19:28 through 30, after this, when Yeshua knew that all things were completed to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar full of sour wine was seated there. So they put a sponge soaked with sour wine on a hyssop branch and offered it to his mouth. And when Yeshua tasted the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ruach. He gave up his spirit. Now in Exodus 12, when God saw the blood on the mezuzah, on the doorpost, he would pass over that mezuzah and not permit the destroyer to enter into the homes and strike them down. That blood was an atonement cover or mercy seat over that house. God's work of redemption was finished. John 19:30, when that blood was applied upon that mezuzah, that wooden cross, an atonement cover or mercy seat, was applied upon the sins of the world. And Yeshua said, it is finished. God's redemptive act was finished by that precious blood of the Lamb of God, Yeshua, our Passover Lamb and our mezuzah. Now, it may not be clear from Scripture if we are directed to affix a mezuzah to our homes. It doesn't say, okay, affix a mezuzah to your home. It doesn't say that. Yet the scripture passages inside the mezuzah provide abiding lessons for all of us. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, the Shema speaks of a love for the one God, Echad, the triune God. While Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21 speaks of the responsibility to obey God and the results of obedience and the consequences of disobedience. And again, scripture may not be clear as to whether we should literally nail God's word to our doorpost, the mezuzah. Nevertheless, the spirit of the commandment is seen in that we believers infuse our homes with God's word. The two mezuzah passages in Deuteronomy remind us to love the Lord and to obey Him. These scriptures themselves are a picture of Messiah's own words when asked what the greatest commandment was. And Yeshua responded in these words taken from the scriptures, from the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 28 through 31. It's always been amazing for me. I know Yeshua was a Jew among Jews. He was the number one Jew of all time. Thank you. But it's amazing to me how he recited, how he said these words of the Shema. And how we today say these same words. We said earlier, and we say week after week, year after year, for the last 3,500 years. And Yeshua said these words from Mark 12, 28 through 31. We read, "One of the Torah teachers came and heard them debating. And seeing that Yeshua had answered them well, he asked him, asked Yeshua, what is, or which is the greatest commandment in the Torah? In all the Torah? Which is the greatest commandment?" And Yeshua answered, "The first is, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You've ever heard that before? "And you shall love Adonai your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And the second is this, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." This is why we recite, not only is it traditional in a Messianic synagogue or synagogue to recite these, but Yeshua himself recited these and said these were the greatest commandments of them all. It's a good scripture to show a Jewish person, isn't it? It really is. Yeshua also said in John 14, 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." So the big message in the mezuzah for us believers is that we should always strive to fill our homes and our lives with the love for God and the love for His word. We should always strive to do that. As we see the mezuzah nailed upon our doors, we are reminded that Yeshua was nailed to the mezuzah 2,000 years ago so that we may have forgiveness of sins and enter into God's rest. Yeshua, our mezuzah, is the blood applied upon our lives and our homes. And people, let us make every effort to live a life worthy of that high price that was paid for our redemption and our eternal life. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, it's just amazing as we study your word, how Yeshua fulfilled so many prophecies from the Torah and from the prophets and from the writings. Lord, there's been nobody and there never will be anyone like our Messiah Yeshua. Without doubt, He is the one ordained from the creation of the world to die for our sins. And we thank You for that. We thank You, Father, that He is that Passover lamb, the Pesach, that suffered and died, and His blood was plied upon the mezuzah, our doorposts, and upon our hearts. Fathers, we're entering in to a few weeks left of before we get to Passover. Lord God, I pray that You would prepare our hearts. Lord, that as Passover speaks of deliverance and freedom, that we, Lord, would begin to move in our deliverance and our freedom. That we, Lord, would be prepared.